Hi, I'm John Weber. This is Piano Jazz. Our guest today is a visionary composer, a musical storyteller, an extraordinary jazz pianist, film scorer, and a very bright young rising star in the jazz world, Roman Collin. Roman, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thanks, John. Hi.
And you are from Antibes.
I am from Antibes, which is located in the south of France. It's on the Riviera, right between Cannes and Nice. It's nice. It's nice and sunny.
So now I have another reason to be jealous of you. In addition to your stellar piano playing, your first album as a leader, titled The Rise and Fall of Pipo Kuhn, features 8 marvelously crafted compositions.
Thank you.
Each track feels like a vignette.
I'm glad you're saying that, because that was definitely the goal. I mean, when I had to do a debut record, I felt that I wanted to write pieces that were very representative of certain episodes in my life. And I feel that when I write music, I think that if I can dedicate a piece of music to a very specific time of my life or a certain type of emotion that I have, then it actually allows me to focus and crystallize this one emotion or event. And that also helps having the music be focused and have a theme be more condensed, and that way not to start writing 10 different pieces at once, you know?
Yeah, it does feel like part of a suite. Each piece that I listened to was part of a suite, and I'm going to presume that Pipo Kuhn is the story's hero, our protagonist is you.
It is.
Okay, that would be correct. Mm-hmm. And Pipo Kuhn experiences 8 distinct events.
That's right.
Told as musical stories by you. And I need to ask you, did you compose each vignette as they happened, or did you recently pen them sort of as a reflection of events which occurred over a number of years?
No, it's basically the whole record is like a musical illustration of the past 10 years of my life. So it's kind of a retrospective reflection on those years and specific events that happened during those years. I'm not going to get too specific in terms of what exactly happened. I want to kind of leave it open to the listener's imagination, and I think the titles are pretty self-explanatory.
You do that very well. I mean, you do paint very descriptive musical portraits of all the places and events that happen. I purposely did not look at titles for a while because I thought, mm-hmm. I wonder what this says, because you do manage to convey what you are feeling, what's going on inside your heart and your head, and you do play it extremely well. So from the wonderful compendium of 8 incisive musical stories on your recording, The Rise and Fall of Pipo Kuhn, I would like to hear you play the second of 8 vignettes titled Maui, Hawaii.
I'd love to.
impeccable, beautiful, marvelous.
Thanks so much.
See, all the while you were playing, I was admiring your dynamics, and I know the song is Maui, Hawaii, and it feels... I've never been to Maui. Have you been to Maui?
Yes, I actually have. Yeah, yeah. I spent about a week over there.
Okay, see, it's a place I've never been there, but I associate it with maximum fun, minimum responsibility. Unless, of course, I have a gig there, in which case I'm...
Didn't, so that was good for me, too. Yeah, yeah, nice. No, a beautiful place, absolutely.
Obviously, you know how to compose, you know themes, you understand it very well, mm-hmm. and you know how to take Maui, Hawaii, and turn it into a piece that feels like sun and surf and sand and everything, and I'm feeling it all, so...
Thank you. That's a beautiful thing.
I can think of another child prodigy who once performed with the Chicago Symphony when he was 11, and it's somebody you've met, Herbie Hancock.
Oh, yeah. I first met Herbie when I auditioned to get into the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz. So what happened is I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston for a few years. And then after that, one of my teachers at Berklee, Hal Crook, suggested that I take an audition to try to get in the Monk Institute. That's a master's program. It's a two-year program. The chairman is Herbie Hancock, and the artistic director is Terence Blanchard. And it's a very, very peculiar program in the sense that basically Herbie puts together one band every 2 years. So they audition about, I'd say, three rhythm sections and a bunch of horns, and they flew us out to L.A. That's where it was based back then. And then I took an audition in front of, it was Herbie, Wayne Shorter, and Terence Blanchard. And so we took a live audition, and then, they make the calls, and they put together that one band. In my case, it was a septet. We had three horns and a rhythm section and a vibes player. And that one band is basically put in this rehearsal room for just about 2 years, where we play together every day. We don't have any formal classes. But we have jazz masters who come in almost every week, and they basically work us real hard for about 5-6 hours a day, every day. And so it's an amazing opportunity,
I heard some of those recordings online on your website, as a matter of fact. I heard that septet playing amazing stuff, and you're playing keyboards and piano and beautiful arrangements, really amazing group. I think I like is Wayne Shorter, Terence Blanchard, Herbie Hancock. They're all guys who work extensively in film. I mean, I heard Wayne do a really nice job on Glengarry Glen Ross back about 1992, the David Mamet film. Yeah. And Terence has scored probably what 30 films.
Yeah, really? Terence is really big on movies, definitely all the Spike Lee movies.
At least a dozen Spike Lee. Right, yeah, right. Yeah. And Oscar winner Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Around Midnight,
yeah.
Yeah. And there's a real cinematic quality in your playing and writing, I notice, on your album and just, mm-hmm. just playing for right now. I watched a film that you scored.
Oh, yeah, a short movie, yeah, about me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you possess a very natural affinity for film composition. I mean, after listening to your work at Berklee, obviously, I mean, you know your way around the electronic gear, which is helpful in the film biz these days. I mean, suppose Tim Burton calls, hey.
I mean, I would really love to be given more of an opportunity to write for movies, absolutely. It's music to me is, might be a cliche a little bit, but it is, to me, music is the soundtrack of life, and I feel that my favorite music is the soundtrack of my life. And so I guess that's why, that's what comes through in my writing, in my compositions. Cause that's what, people tell me that. I get that very, very often, that people feel that my music is written or could fit like movies very, very well.
I agree.
And that's also why, on my first record, I did a pretty thick booklet, where I have vignettes, little illustrations, that go along with every piece. And that, to me, the visual aspect is extremely important. I'm actually planning on working on that more for my next record. I'm working on the next record now. I think I'll boost the visual aspect a little more, see what happens there.
I love those. And that's another reason to get the hard copy over the download. You wrote a piece which reminds me of Rachmaninoff's F minor prelude, that thunderstorm one. F minor is always a thunderstorm key.
Yeah.
And it was from his Opus 23, I want to say, titled The Calling. And
yes.
It has got film score written all over it. I would actually like to hear you play that, if you would.
Absolutely, yes.
Exquisite.
Thank you.
Exquisite. I'm telling you, the first time that I heard Keith Jarrett, okay, and I know I'm going to the top of the mountain right there, I felt that I was listening to the soundtrack of some powerful film going on in his head, all right? Hmm. And he was using 88 keys and 10 fingers to tell and share some incredible story that he alone was seeing and feeling. And, you know, with great respect to Keith Jarrett, I feel much the same way when I hear you're composing and improvising on a piece like The Calling.
Thanks very much. That's definitely it's a great compliment, and Keith is a master of the instrument, so, and a great influence too, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there's more coming up with pianist Roman Collin. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, Roman, sometimes your soloing is so focused and compositional, it sounds and feels meditative, you know, like a peaceful warrior moment. Yeah, you find this zone and you take all of us with you, and you must have some sort of meditation regimen. How do you focus and get into that zone?
Thanks for saying that. I mean, that to me is probably the single most important thing in music, you know, beyond the notes we play and the knowledge we all have and the chops and all this. I think being able to actually create an emotional musical moment is the single most important thing. That's the one thing that projects and hopefully will take the audience with us as musicians, you know? You know, I actually have practiced meditation and yoga since I was, I think, 16 or so. And I think I always look for that zone of focus and peace and that zone of infinity, I think, an absolute, where nothing really moves and everything moves at the same time. And it's like being in the eye of the hurricane a little bit, you know, when you play. And, you know, I try my best to be in that zone when I play. And sometimes I manage to, and sometimes not so much.
Whether you intended it or not, the title track of your album, The Rise and Fall of Pipo Kuhn, is very reminiscent of one of my favorite pianists, a Swedish man. Named Jan Johansson.
Okay.
And he recorded prodigiously between 1962 and his untimely death in 1968 in an automobile accident. He had this John Lewis-y, light as a feather touch. It's soulful beyond belief. Hmm. Tell me if I'm barking up the right tree on this one. Regarding your title track, The Rise and Fall of Pipo Kuhn, mm-hmm. the eighth of eight chapters, it sounds like a guy who's, you know, been there, done that. It's the end of the day, and he's had some ups and downs. Life's pretty good. That's the vibe I get from it. Tell me if that's accurate.
Well, that's interesting. That's definitely the vibe. I mean, it's the title track of the record. It's also the last title on the record. It's definitely a feeling of having arrived at the end of a journey, a long journey that can be painful, but that's also a great exploration of the self and of life in general. And you know, it definitely has this sense of peace, maybe nostalgia as well, because that's the end. And it's actually interesting because it's a piece that different people have different. Some see it as very nostalgic, and some see it as very peaceful. And I think there's a little bit of both in it, you know.
I sense that. It makes me happy. You know, I mean, Duke Ellington was right on target when he said there's only two kinds of music, good and the other kind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good. What you do is good.
Thank you.
I would like to hear you play the title track from your album, The Rise and Fall of Pipo Kuhn.
Sure.
Thank you. Voila. That was awesome, man. That was soulful. Just if you wanted to get up and dance. You know, Roman, the rise and fall of Pipo Kun. Now, Pipo Kun is you. Tell me what that means exactly, the rise and fall of Pipo Kun.
That's the shape of some elements of what happened in the last 10 years of my life. And that's, you know, as we said before, it's definitely a reflection on a whole journey. It's reflective in that, you know, in that sense, and with a sense of peace, a sense of pain, a sense of nostalgia, you know, it's all in there, I think. And interestingly enough, talking about film scoring, when I buy lots of soundtracks and original music for movies, that's interesting because there's always that concept behind the music, just because it's bound by this one story, which is the movie. So that really forces the composers to write a theme that's very strong, coherent, and that is felt throughout the entire project and the entire soundtrack, you know? So, yeah, same thing, you know, basically.
And it really connects everything. I can hear the songs really belong together. All the 8 pieces that you have, your vignettes, just they belong together as a cohesive unit, yeah. You know? And, I mean, I've already heard, we aren't quite there yet, but I have heard the words, what's an album? And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm an enormous fan of the American Popular Songbook. And, you know, we're a couple of piano jazzers, the jazz musicians whom we revere and admire so much. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all tremendous interpreters of the American Popular Songbook and the jazz standards created by our heroes. The one name, you know, people, you know, Monk, Dizzy, Bud, Bird, Miles, Train, you know, Ornette. You know, at one point, all these guys, their music was new. All the, you know, Clifford and Duke and Lester and mm-hmm. Wes and Herbie mm-hmm. and Wayne. And, you know, should they have played it safe? No, they you know.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. You know, I better just do standards. I don't think they were having that conversation. We've grown to expect jazzers to work their magic on the existing repertoire, I suppose. But once in a while, we encounter an artist with so much creativity pouring out, like you.
Thank you. That's very flattering. Thanks.
I mean, you can't even help but contribute new music to this repertoire.
I sure hope so.
And, you know, I'd like to believe that each tune you play is a story unto itself, you know. And just to demonstrate our sheer respect for the American Popular Songbook, how about we perform a duet of a 1932 song introduced by Bing Crosby, a man I believe born in 1903, and composed by a man born in 1888 in Russia. That would be, of course, Irving Berlin. And here is our rendition, our duet of a time-tested work of distinction entitled How Deep Is the Ocean?
Beautiful piece, yeah.
Man, that was a blast. You really know how to...
Thank you. That was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Interpret the standards.
A lot of fun.
Well, I'm having a great time with pianist Roman Collin. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, I love your, I keep on calling it the Jan Johansson vibe, the Swedish pianist I keep on bringing up, I can't recommend enough. Look on any search engine and find him, because there's something about him that reminds me of you.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's your touch, it's just, maybe it's his deep concentration on what he does, But I want to play something for you that Jan recorded in 1962.
Please, yeah. I would love to hear it.
He jazzed up some ancient... I'll give you a little background on this. He jazzed up some ancient Swedish folk music, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, is this a formula for massive commercial success? Yeah, I don't know. You know, but believe it or not, until ABBA came along, if I'm not mistaken... Jan Johansson was the best-selling Swedish artist of all time.
That is funny. That's good to hear.
I'm going to play for you.
I'm going to check him out.
The first thing that I ever heard him play, this is titled Visa från Utemyra.
Wow, that was beautiful. That was really, really beautiful.
Yeah, it's an old song, about 300 years, early 1700s, I want to say. And
I love the way you kept reharmonizing it with your left hand. All the all the chordal structures and the harmonic pathways that you took, really beautiful, really rich and warm. And I was just watching the way you work your left hand and all the moving tenths. Really beautiful. Beautiful. Solo piano is just such an amazing way of approaching it. Solo piano is difficult. I haven't done a whole lot of solo piano myself, so it's good. I'm trying to.
Oh, you're a one-man orchestra. Coming from you, that's high praise, believe me. Well, there's more music in just a minute with Roman Collin. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, Roman, you really focus when you play, and I hear it in your trio work and in your duo work with me today. Mm-hmm. And I like your tune, Runner's High, because it probably describes a regular occurrence for you. I would imagine that when you're running or exercising,
That's funny. Actually, yeah, it is true. I mean, I like exercising, and the runner's high is a good feeling, when you get that rush. I wrote a piece recently that's called Runner's High. I'm working on a new project now. It's kind of an extension of the my debut record, meaning that it's going to be an acoustic piano trio first, and then I'm going to do a whole lot more post production and sound designing on top of that. I'm going to work again with my very good friend and outstanding producer Nicholas Pharmakalidis. He's been working very hard with me on the previous project, and we're working on that one too. So that's a lot of fun.
Nicholas does beautiful work. I looked him up online as well, and I'm glad you pronounced his name for me so I didn't mangle the Greek language. Many moons to the east, I actually ran myself into a few runner's highs, so I wouldn't mind returning to that happy place.
Okay.
So maybe if I hear you play it, I'll find my way back.
I'd love to. Thank you.
That was a virtuoso jazz etude, if ever there was one.
Thank you.
I was watching your right hand. It's too bad that radio is not a visual medium, because I was watching your right hand do those sixths, and I'm watching your left hand just effortlessly. It's just this Baroque, just amazing, amazing thing to watch.
Thank you.
And to listen to. And it's just, I'm happy to, you know, I'm experiencing a musician high right now, especially around someone with as much talent as you, Roman. And yeah, you're inspiring me to probably get on the Norda track and start start getting back in shape so I can make my fingers fly like that again. I would like to hear you play an incredibly pretty tune of yours, a very cinematic sort of contemplative number titled One Last Try.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
It's the one that makes the women faint in admiration and swoon.
Okay, we'll see about that.
Here is One Last Try. Thank you. that was stunning. It was beautiful, and it's beyond the point of jealousy. I wish I could write something that sounds half as pretty as that. It sounded like a
thanks very much. Thank
like
you.
A film score, and this has been the fastest hour of my life. Just watching you do what you do, it's inspiring. It's scary to watch how good you are.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, John, and many, many thanks again to Marianne for putting this together and allowing me to be here. It's a great honor.
Well, Marianne definitely knows her piano players, and you are everything that she said you are and much, much more.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much.
You're a terrific composer, and I think we have time for one more tune by another terrific composer, Cole Porter.
Uh-huh.
He had a show called Wake Up and Dream, 1929, the same year he wrote 50 Million Frenchmen.
Okay.
And from Wake Up and Dream, we should do, what is this thing called, Love?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Great tune.
Yeah. Thank you. Burning Man. Who got the last word on that one?
I think you did.
I got to take some lessons from Joe Sanders on bass so I can learn how to play those bass lines.
Yeah, Joey's a bad cat.
Thanks for being on Piano Jazz.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Terrific guest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz with guest host John Weber and today's guest, Roman Collin. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production assistant Grant Jackson. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. Special thanks to Rob McComber and SiriusXM Studios in New York City. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There, you'll find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.